Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Karen Ann Terrell. Karen Ann is the Chief Digital and Technology Officer of GSK, a British multinational pharmaceutical company with revenues exceeding 30 billion pounds. On the CTO side of her role, she has responsibility for all technology regarding customers, employees, and how the company innovates. While on the CDO side, Karen Ann is responsible for GSK's reinvention through digital data and analytics. Karen Ann is a CIO multiple times over, holding the post at Baxter International, Daimler Chrysler, and most recently at Walmart. In this interview, Karen Ann discusses GSK's 40-50-10 framework for thinking about technology and digital's impact. The company spends 40% of its efforts on what she refers to as digital as usual, which includes identifying cross-enterprise value contribution. GSK spends 50% of its time on digital by reinventing its existing business, and it spends 10% of its time on true disruption. We also discuss the benefits Karen Ann gains from board membership, why GSK's chief executive officer added the CDO role to her set of responsibilities rather than giving them to a new executive, how GSK has looked to mix an infusion of talent externally to complement skills that exist internally, and a variety of other topics.
Well, Karen Ann Terrell, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thanks a lot, Peter. It's good to be here.
Thank you. So, Karen Ann, I thought we would begin with your role at GlaxoSmithKline, GSK. You're the Chief Digital and Technology Officer. I wonder if you could take a moment and just describe your purview in that role.
Yeah, and actually, I think both the digital and technology responsibilities is something that GSK really is ahead of most companies on thinking about. So I have a combined role, the typical role of the CIO. So all technology with regard to our customers, with regard to our employees, how we actually procure, innovate. So I do the traditional CIO technology role. And I also have responsibility as the chief digital officer for the reinvention through digital data and analytics lens for GSK. GSK has three businesses, our pharmaceutical business, our vaccines business, and our consumer healthcare business. So I have all of the technology and that digital reinvention across the three business and the enterprise.
It's interesting. There are all sorts of schools of thought on the digital officer as to whether it will have legs and have a lot of people taking on that responsibility, either as a complement to the CIO or as an additional set of responsibilities, in essence, as you've described.
Yeah.
You talked about the reinvention. Is the title important as a means of calling out the change that you're hoping to enact?
I think it was an extremely intentional decision by our CEO to signal the importance of the digital transformation and the digital enterprise intention by adding that as a remit to the technology organization. Because I think the separation of the two can sometimes cause the speed of being able to scale the opportunities that you find in digital data and analytics a bit slower. And we wanted certainly to have speed because so much is changing in the healthcare business with regard to our customers, our patients, and just our business in general in healthcare.
Actually, I'd love to talk to you. So you mentioned the three constituent groups, the operation itself, your customers, your patients. Can you talk a bit about maybe some examples of how technology is changing the experience for each of those?
Yeah. So I think if you look at a framework the way that we think about technology and digital and the impact, we think of it as 40, 50, and 10. So 40% has a digital as usual. 50% is digital through a reinvention window of our existing business, and we have very specific focuses in the 50. And then 10 is the true disruption, that high-end innovation of how digital is actually disrupting the business that we work in. So I'll give you three examples. in the digital as usual, our ability to actually change our landscape of looking cross-enterprise for strikes in value. So looking in an agile way of working, almost as a product-focused, data product-focused way of working, is really our digital as usual. So think of something where we may previously have looked at doing stock inventory optimization. Now we have the ability to look cross-enterprise at cash analytics, cash optimization, our working capital, just wherever we can look at cash. You can imagine how important that is in our as usual business in order to invest in our innovation for our patients in research and development. So cash analytics at an enterprise level and not just finance working on something or looking at it from a supply chain point of view, but enterprise, I think is one of the digital as usual changes. And we really look towards the cloud, third-party cloud, as the opportunity for us to look at our enterprise data sources to provide speed, as well as to get to external data that can augment that. Secondly, in our reinvention area in the 50%, we really focus our reinvention, while reinvention across the entire business, digital has the opportunity to impact, we really focus in three areas. One is around discovery. And you see a lot of work that we are doing in discovery with the relationship that we have with 23andMe, looking at genetics through the discovery engine. And second is the reinvention of our relationship with our customers. And in the consumer healthcare business, in the pharma business, our customers are often large retailers. In the pharmaceutical and vaccines business, they are doctors. They're not yet our consumers, our customers. So how do we reinvent our relationship with them? And think of the sales force that traditionally would call on our customers. The ability to reinvent that relationship that we have in order to serve directly the doctors as we get much more effective and efficient with what our sales force does in order to add value and serve directly our doctors. Technology and the way that you think about always on, demand signals and communications with our customers is just absolutely reinventing our relationship with our customers. And then finally, how we actually reinvent all the way to the consumer. And in our consumer healthcare business, that is the actual buyer of Excedrin or Tums or the user of our Sensodyne. And in the pharmaceutical business, those are our patients. Or in the vaccines, the persons that's receiving our Shingrix vaccine. So how we actually reinvent our relationship with them, given that we are selling through retail, we are prescribed through doctors, reinventing our relationship there. Those are the three areas of reinvention that technology is driving. And then finally, in disruption, we have a very interesting way of thinking about Horizon 3, and that is through our innovation acceleration in areas of our business where we may be able in the pharmaceutical business to actually test end-to-end in a country where we have medical records, we have health records, we have pharmaceutical, we're in the respiratory business, the HIV business. So our ability to actually truly look at innovative business models, as well as very, very innovative technology in a disruptive landscape. So we think of it across 40, 50, and 10.
That's interesting. The first time you and I ever spoke, you were wrapping up your time at Walmart, and it was before you joined GSK and in July of 2017. And there was a comment you made, which was very memorable for me. You talked about the need for IT to get out in front of the business to be headlights.
Yeah.
And I think of this quote from you on the heels of the explanation that you've just provided and the many constituents inside the company and outside the company that you need to contemplate when you're shining those headlights and getting out in front of those constituents. Can you talk a bit about the method, the process of so doing?
So I think I always think of that in two ways. Number one is we know in the digitizing of what's happening in every single business because of what's happening to that digital transformation of our customers, that we have to organize around agile principles. We have to be able to think about how we move from project to product. We have to look at our supplier base in a digital ecosystem way, because that is the way that the digital and the data-inspired world is moving. It's not just about I procure something, but in a digital ecosystem. And so those are three incredibly important components of the tech transformation, which I believe gives us the ability when the business starts to move in much more agile principles towards product, thinking about how they will move into a digital ecosystem. Hal Barron has a absolutely Silicon Valley approach to how he thinks about reinventing discovery in science times technology times culture. And our ability to move at speed with him requires us to just reinvent our own business through that lens. If you will, it's a practice for us ahead of the speed at which the business will want us to move. And those have been terrific learning experiments and learning at scale changes for the tech organization, where we're really starting to see GSK as a whole become a much more agile, product-oriented and digital ecosystem because of the way we're going to do innovation in pharmaceuticals.
That's great. You mentioned agile a couple of times there. And I know another memorable quote from you is the importance of being agile rather than just doing agile. And I wonder if you could talk about the cultural implications of that statement.
You know, I continue to believe that agile at scale is really a big paradigm shift for companies. It definitely is was true in the retail business. And as we think about agile principles, can't always be applied by direct scrum-based design from the customer orientation, digital native platforms that can be built in software engineering from the ground up. Not everything is going to fit into that category of agile, but that doesn't mean that designing with the end customer in mind, with user experiences, which are much more straightforward, and the ability to design in small sprint timeframe where you are searching for value. You are looking to actually flow the value in short sprints is not possible, even in what I would call some of our more monolithic legacy platform work, the classic part of the IT world. So being agile in the way that you apply those principles, even though you can't fully embrace a DevOps model, is actually as important to start that mindset change. And I'm so gratified that you see that cascade of thinking about being able to fail fast and do things in a sprint orientation where they are searching for value to be delivered is not just headlights from tech anymore. It actually is into our business, even in areas where we have more traditional technology platforms that don't fit the DevOps. The doing agile, I think, is the one that everybody is very familiar with. Software engineering, ground up brand new platforms that go into DevOps in sprint-based cycles. where you really reorganize and take a lot of skill. There's a lot of skills transformation that's required in that area. I actually believe, as you know, probably the chief digital officer, that there's much more value that comes very, very quickly in the being agile side of our business while we are cascading the modernization to doing agile.
Interesting. I wanted to also ask you about the people implications to the change that you've undertaken. You know, as you've thought about the 40-50-10 model, as the company has declared the importance of digital, what sorts of new roles or skills have you been hiring for? And I'd also, as somebody who's been a CIO multiple times over in the U.S. at Walmart, at Baxter International, at Daimler Chrysler, I'd be curious about your insights about the U.K. Market for technology talent versus the U.S. where you traditionally played.
Yeah, GSK is a global multinational.
Sure. And big presence in the U.S., I should mention
it,
as well.
It is.
New York, et cetera.
It is. But I think the interesting thing is when you are a multinational and we have customers and we have products that are in so many markets across the world, we have the world at our disposal in order to actually look at how and where we will do development, where we will support technology, and where we will draw skills. That said, we still do make very deliberate decisions about core locations so that we get talent density, some of it that needs to be co-located with our businesses in order to get speed, especially in new skills around software engineering, user design centricity, and data and analytics, especially when you start to think of data and analytics as a product, which is informing and infusing to a data-oriented culture in the company. So, you know, we have big presences in Philadelphia, in Raleigh, in North Carolina, in Poland, in Poznan, as well as in WAF in Belgium, which is where our vaccines business is. And the skill transformation that's necessary for the modernization of our technology, as well as just brand new skills that are necessary in order to move at speed, we are finding the skills transformation internally we're being successful, but we're not yet being very successful in that skills transformation. And we are hiring from the external market as well. Interestingly, it's not just hiring at the entry level of the organization, because we've always had kind of a skills infusion that comes from our early talent programs. But I think that what we're seeing more and more is kind of a mid-level hiring, which is necessary around individual contributors with software engineering skills. We had a squad of technologists in London join us about 7 or 8 months ago, and they're joining us as a squad, lifting and shifting, if you will, inside of GSK, just provided us a huge momentum in order, because they come from just the product management orientation, software engineering. They are platform thinkers, and they came from the tech business as they lifted and shifted into GSK. And, you know, they are an incredible accelerator of the skills transformation internally, because it is, everyone knows what good will look like. They are incredibly humble human beings, just as a group in the teaching internally. And I think that we all just have to recognize that there's a mix in skill transformation of hiring from the outside as well as skilling the folks in a transformative way internally.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask you about your board appointments to Pluralsight.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see a greater number of people with technology backgrounds joining boards of organizations. I wonder if you can take a brief moment to talk a bit about how that came about, the value you believe a technologist, obviously, namely yourself, adds value in this sort of from joining boards, and likewise, what you've drawn from that experience that you take back to the office.
You know, I get asked a lot about the board appointment. It was a bit serendipitous. I met a venture capitalist who was on the board, who said, "Hey, we're expanding our board." They were private at the time, and we're interested in someone who's, you know, really in the heart of digital transformation and skills transformation, because Pluralsight, you know, is the world's premier platform of skills transformation, IT transformative skills in order to move towards the digital economy and the technology digital capabilities. And so it was very serendipitous, but it has made me, as they've gone through an IPO, such a better leader internally as a chief digital and technology officer. My empathy for our board members is just a lot different than it was before. My ability to understand how to be really clear in my communication with the board, and I've done a lot of board communications in my past responsibilities, I just think is better, especially in the age of what's going on with the enterprise risk around cybersecurity, the work in digital data and analytics. My remit takes me to the board frequently to talk about that. So I hesitate to say that I encourage all leaders in tech to get board positions, because it's not always possible in terms of the governance of companies. But I will say that there is an enormous opportunity to actually look at companies through the lens of board, whether you're on advisories, so that you become more empathetic and more skilled in your communications with the board. I just wish that I had done this 10 years ago as I started my CIO journey. But it takes a lot of time. My board is in Utah. So it's a bit of a trip from London to Utah. But just terrific experience working with venture capitalists. There's a woman from Google that's on the board. It's a tremendous transformation for me to look at a digital native tech company, which is what Pluralsight is.
That's great. In the last minute or two that we have, I wanted to ask you about trends that excite you as you look to the future. We've talked about a couple of them, but I wanted to give you a chance to talk about others that, as you look out a year or two or three, that are exciting you particularly.
I could not be more excited about what technology will do in disrupting the innovation around healthcare. For us, that is in the discovery side of things, the acceleration of our discoveries of genetics aligned medicines, and what will happen as we advance vaccines through our system. The technology of being able to move to virtual trials the wearables that will change completely how our patients will engage with us with regard to the medicines that they use. We have so many things that we can do to actually serve our patients in a better way through technology. And I'm not talking about digital as the drug. I'm talking about digital enhanced capabilities in clinical trials, our respiratory business, in how we actually do a much better job of looking at real world evidence to actually expand the populations of people who could be served by our medicines. Those things are going to, I can just say from a revolutionary point of view, and it's a strange thing to hear a chief technologist not talking about technology, but, somebody will listen to this in 6 months and say, "Oh, that technology was so 6 months ago," because that's the way our world is changing. But when you look at consent-driven genetics that can be used, the mapping of the genome through all of that, and how that will actually change the healthcare business. It is the reason why I will get up every single morning and work all the way through the evening, is because that is really, really changing the business of pharmaceuticals and healthcare.
That's excellent. Well, Karen and Terrell, thank you again for joining us on Technovation. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Gary Hallgren, the president of Arity.